Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of AV Insider. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Moda. This is a show that's hosted on the Rave Pubs Radio Network. I just got back from a week-long trade show in Las Vegas, Nevada, where I could hear myself talk with other CEOs and manufacturers for about a week. So if you're not tired of my voice yet, I'm tired enough for the both of us. But it's not really about me, it's about my guests. I have two of them. They're special, as always. They've got some really good information, but before I have them on the show, I'd like to thank the sponsors for keeping this Northern California cloud moving along that I call home. Ingram Micro, they're the world's largest technology distributor delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, you can check out some of the products they have for you as an integrator, as a solutions manufacturer. All your AV and IT needs can be met and found at ingrammicro.com. You do not need the W's. I've told all my previous guests that's no longer needed unless your web guy made it that way. But again, enough about me. Today I have Randy Leisure, who is the Leisure.
That's good.
Leisure. Okay, so I didn't botch it. It just did the second time. You are the VP of business development and content marketing, and I have Kevin Fielding of Pono, both of Pono, who is the head of design and engineering. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Oh man, I felt like I was going to say them right, and then I did, and then I got caught up for saying them wrong. So I'll have my assistant edit all that out, but I'll probably not edit that out. Unimportant. So you guys, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
If you could give me a little, before we get into Pono, because that's really what I want to know, I do love learning about the employees of the brands. And maybe, Randy, if you could start first, tell me a little bit of background about you. Is maybe this is your first time in the audio world, or maybe you've been doing this, you know, since you were a child. I don't know. What's your background? How did you get to Pono?
Yeah, sure. So previous to working here at Pono Music, I was at Sony Music.
Okay.
And I worked on their sales and marketing teams at Sony. I was a VP of product development there, as well as some other roles. And prior to that, I was at a company called Liquid Audio, who cool. was one of the pioneers of digital music delivery. And then prior to that, I was at Geffen Records. So I've been in the music business slash digital music world most of my career.
Cool. Kevin, what about you?
So prior to Pono, I actually come from the video game industry. I worked at Zynga as a game designer and engineer. And prior to that, I did something along the similar lines in the e-learning kind of game world for a company out of Toronto called ITS e-learning.
Okay, so both of you basically were born into this role. It's what it sounds like.
yes, it's for me. A lot of the stuff here at Pono is a little bit of Groundhog Day sometimes because we're a startup, with a music store and proprietary technology to play back music. So definitely have those moments.
Okay, so for me, just as an example, for people listening who aren't audiophiles or familiar with the name Pono, can you give us a quick little blurb about who the brand Pono is and what you're kind of all about?
Absolutely. So Pono, it's a Hawaiian word. It means righteous, the one. It was chosen by Neil Young, who's our CEO and founder.
What?
So Neil, he's had this longtime vision to bring back the high resolution listening experience that's essentially been lost over the last couple decades as music quality has gone down and down in place of convenience.
Right.
Artists spend all this time and energy recording something in their studio and having the ability to output masters that equal that, but there's not really been a way to make those commercially available on a wide basis until recently. Technology's kind of caught up. So, we have a way now to basically what the artists record in the studio, it gets released commercially, and that's what we can, offer in our store. So there's really, three core pillars to what Pono Music is about. There's our Pono Music Player, the Pono Music Store, where we sell the files, and then the Pono Music Community, which really brings all that together. The community piece is really important to Neil, and you know, we were kind of born out of community because Pono got off the ground via Kickstarter in 2014, and that really, you know, launched us having that Kickstarter campaign for the Pono Player. And, you know, all those, you know, supporters of the Kickstarter campaign, you know, really brought that community piece into Pono and kind of tied it all together.
I've seen a lot of brands, and I mean, Pono's new in the industry, if you will, in terms of like a manufacturer, you know, whether that's Sony with the Hi-Res player or whoever, or another speaker manufacturer, and they built a new amplifier and they weren't in the amplifier business. That's where Pono seems to be, where this new idea. Neil had this, I thought, you know, I want to bring back Hi-Res. You know, I don't want to make convenience the number one priority anymore. Sacrificing quality for convenience has been something that's been going on for a long time. I've seen manufacturers get on the Kickstarter, not bandwagon, I don't want to say, but like get it in the realm of Kickstarter, at least what I've seen, as kind of a way to test the waters to see, are people going to be interested in product X? And it's been a good way to get a good idea of who's out there and kind of is ready for the movement or the resurgence of hi-fi. And I've seen a lot of people do that, and I think it's great. Not necessarily because there isn't the money to back it, more of a way to see, is this something that people want? And I've seen people do that, and of course with Pono, obviously people want it. And I think it's kind of a great way to do it, honestly. I mean, yeah, it's a good way to raise money, but it's a good way to see maybe who the market is and who out there is really interested in the idea of what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really blew away everybody's expectations of what you know, Pono could be with the Kickstarter campaign for the Pono Player. We ended up being the, you know, third largest Kickstarter campaign that they had at the time, and raised over $6 million. So it really got everybody excited about the demand for it, and, you know, really showed that, hey, you know, people, you know, they're hungry to have a way to be able to play back these files losslessly, and, you know, understood, you know, what Neil was trying to achieve to create this ecosystem. So you'd have a player to play it back, you'd have a way to buy the files, and, you know, we offer in the Pono Music Store the highest resolution that's available. You know, and in some instances, you know, the way an artist recorded something, you know, maybe 44/116 will be the highest that will ever be available. But if there are ways to offer that in a higher resolution, it goes all the way up to 192/24-bit and different, you know, various resolution points in between. So yeah, it was definitely exciting to get all that positive feedback, you know, from the pledges that we had and the excitement about what Pono was trying to do.
Okay, Kevin, tell me a little bit about the concept design of Pono. I mean, I'm assuming you had quite a bit to do with the design of this player, correct?
Yeah, so the player shape, when I came on board, I guess it was about close to 30 months ago, I came on board. Neil had already been working with a concept engineer on the shape, and he was really, really set on the triangular prism, the isosceles triangular prism that allows the player to kind of groove into your hand while holding it, but also be able to set it up and view it in landscape mode quite easily.
Yeah.
But aside from the player shape, the rest of it, you know, I had pretty good control over. We worked with Charlie Hansen at Aracoustics for the discrete analog circuitry that converts the binary back into an analog sound wave. And the chipset he chose was spectacular and really, really kind of helps the Pono player unlock that in-studio experience when you feed it lossless files for the listener.
Now, not only is this player obviously a music digital player that has access to, well, actually, I should probably ask you about that. I'm just assuming at this point. To get music onto Pono, I just head over to PonoMusic.com and then download it and transfer from my computer to the player itself. Is that how that works?
We'll play the FLAC files that we serve up on our website, but the player is designed to play back any file extension, any file type you can give it. You'll hear probably crisper audio playback, even in the compressed forms, if you feed it MP3s or M4As or AAC files. They'll oftentimes sound better than you've probably ever heard them, or at least ever heard them from a portable player. But the real idea that Neil's going after is that kind of portable studio playback, and you don't really get that full range with all the breathability in the mix until you feed it a lossless file. Preferably from our store, since we know exactly where we get all of them from.
Yeah, and what we sell are FLAC files. That's the codec that we prefer.
FLAC is similar for all those listening. FLAC is very similar to WAVE. The file sizes are slightly smaller, but they aren't compressed. Basically, instead of a WAVE saying, 1000100, a FLAC file might be, we'll just say one, okay, and then we're gonna have five zeros, and then 11, and then six zeros. So the amount of binary raw data that actually needs to be present in the file is less, but there's actually no bits lost on playback. And then FLAC also was designed with metadata in mind. So you can put, it's a lot easier to tag them with album artist, track number, disc number, year, all that jazz. Whereas WAV files, depending on how you process them, are pretty difficult to do that, and not every player will read them back consistently.
Is there, and when I met you a couple weeks ago, Kevin, I asked you there, but maybe you can just share with the listeners. Is there any restriction on file format that it can or cannot play?
No, we even play DSD files. We put out a, I think in our first firmware update, we put out support for DSD and DSF files. The only file types it doesn't play are proprietary ones.
Like Windows Media, which if you had Windows Media's files, we'd question your sanity for your digital library.
I actually think we do play Windows
It
Media.
does?
Yeah,
Okay. Well, there you go.
but
Well, who at Pono is using Windows Media? I'll
but
talk to that person.
but like I think some like I think there's a few different like desktop clients that have their own file types that we didn't integrate. Like I think there's like an 8 Media Manager or something like that. Yeah, we didn't bother to go down and track down every desktop client's possible export formats. We just kind of covered the kind of open source and commonly used ones.
Guilty confession, I actually use Windows Media Player, but I only play it on my Zune, so there you
No. Wow, and you just admitted you have a Zune. That's pretty awesome.
go.
Double.
Yeah, well, I like being old school. That's the only reason I have like a fax player, so I can on it. Like, what is this stupid thing?
Is it brown?
Someone somewhere in the world right now, there's a Microsoft employee just raising a fist in the air.
He's
Right,
like,
exactly.
yeah, it's Bill Gates. And just a little fun fact, Bill Gates and I have a combined $1 billion, well, multiple $1 billion income combined. It's mostly his, but whatever. Combined, we're worth billions. Little fun fact there about me and Bill Gates. You too can share Bill Gates' money, but it may cost you more money to try and get to it. Now, let me ask you about any color schemes. It comes in yellow and black, right?
Correct. Yep.
And was there any particular reason for the colors? I mean, that the logo is yellow. Is there something, a meaning behind that, like the name or no?
No, I think Neil just liked those. I mean, wanted to have one that was kind of bright and, eye-catching, and then, one that, wanted something a little more subdued.
Okay, and then what about memory? Are there multiple sizes for the player itself, or no?
Yeah, there's only one version of the Pono player, and it
Okay.
has 64 gigs internal storage. And they all have a slot at the bottom, a little door on it, a micro SD slot. So you can expand that up to a 200 gig card. So you
Okay.
could potentially have a 264 gig player.
And the player itself looks, in terms of UI or interface, it looks pretty straightforward. I didn't have a whole lot of time to play with it, but there's three buttons on the face of it, up and down, and then like an enter button, which seems pretty easy to use, right? Click on it, enter, do that, up and down. But then the screen itself is where the UI lives, and it's visual, it's vibrant, and it works well. It's very easy to see what you have. And beyond that, if I were to use this as not like a personal audio device for my own music, to cruise around and have my headphones on or something like that, I can use this as something on my two-channel system or something like that, or output from there into a system, correct?
Yeah, so you'll notice there's two headphone jacks on the top of the player. There's one for headphones if it's just you, and you can put another pair of headphones in there and do shared listening mode if you're on an airplane with somebody and you both want to check it out or whatever. And then there's a straight line out if you're just like connecting it to your car stereo. But then there's also a feature called balance mode where you can set it in the settings. So if you have those cables coming out of the Pono player into XLR connectors on, your home stereo, you can actually have full balanced mode through your system. Or there are some headphones in the market now that are balanced and have two jacks on them. So it's pretty versatile.
Now, let me ask you, and I don't know if you can share this kind of information about the store, but how does Neo, how do the Pono community, how do the Pono employees source the music that is provided on the store? Where does it come from?
Yes,
How do
so
you
we
work with the
have
people?
licensing agreements with all the major labels and a bunch of independent labels. So we work directly with them and license their music. So most artists have some sort of distribution set up through some sort of entity, whether it's an independent music content aggregator or one of the smaller labels under a major label umbrella. So we've got pretty much all the bases covered that way of getting, all the good stuff that's out there available, and just continuing to preach the gospel to everybody about high resolution and make sure when artists are, getting ready to release a new album that they're, outputting high res masters as well. It's just getting people sort of in the habit of doing that, knowing that, there's a way to make these available now, and they should be. Because in the old days you would make a master for vinyl and then one for CD, and maybe sometimes you'd take that CD master and you'd cut that for vinyl or cassette or whatever you're making. But now there is a way to output it in high resolution and make it commercially available. So just getting people in the mindset of doing that at the labels and then artists themselves.
I will have a few questions about how people can purchase the Pono player, but before we get into that, I should probably mention the sponsor again. As I mentioned, keeping this Northern California cloud moving along, everybody. Ingram Micro, the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. You head over to ingrammicro.com, you can find some of my previous guests, which I will not tell you because I'll force you to listen to my voice because that's part of the deal. Or you can just go back to past episodes and find out who they are. I could give you one, I will say it's Sennheiser from a previous show. They are at ingrammicro.com. Check it out. And that now brings me to my next question about the Pono player. Is it something I can only purchase online? Do you have direct dealers? Is there distribution? How is the business model of Pono produced? How do you guys get the players out there?
Yeah, sure. Actually, all of the above. So we sell it on our own site, ponomusic.com. We also sell through Amazon. And then we have, relationships with a bunch of other retailers, like Fry's. Fries.com, Micro Center, and there's a whole host of smaller boutique retailers online that have the Pono Player for sale,
mm-hmm.
and then also, you know, boutique retailers that have, you know, like where we met you at Lavish Hi-Fi when we did an event there.
Cool.
That specialize in you know, high quality and home listening systems, and there are retailers as well.
Now, do I mean, this could be speculative. I don't really have a direct like, you know, give me a roadmap. But can you talk about, like, you know, where Pono Player is headed? I mean, the way I see it right now, it's really promoting hi-fi, and that you know compressed audio isn't great. There's no. You know, there's no questioning that. And I will say that people, in terms of music, they're going to listen to what they get into, whether that's convenience, and that's probably highly been the reason for anyone to, like, I could buy a song for $1, download it, done. But maybe they don't know any better. The Pono Player is promoting, you know, higher quality audio in general. Do you see a Pono version 2 coming out in the future? Or any accessories to the player itself?
Yes, so definitely to answer, try to carve those up and answer your questions. Yeah, so as far as another newer version of the Pono, there's definitely discussions around that,
mm-hmm.
and what it could be, you know, if it's standalone, if it's part of something else. I mean, those are all being discussed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Neil's made mention that, you know, we're exploring the idea of Pono headphones.
Ooh.
You know, specific balanced headphones made for the Pono Player. So there's definitely those types of things that we're looking into. And, you know, hopefully end of this year, you know, we'll be able to bring something to market along those lines. As far as, you know, people, you know, and sort of listening habits and, you know, people's idea of what quality is, certainly you can look at the rise of vinyl sales. And, you know, attribute that to people, you know, really wanting, you know, what they think is the best listening experience, you know, giving that up for convenience. You know, certainly vinyl is not convenient, but it, you know, it does sound good. And that people equate vinyl with, you know, the best that's available. So I think there's still an education process, you know, to music fans to let them know that digital, when it's high resolution digital lossless files, it can be, you know, better than vinyl and closer to what the artist actually recorded. So, you know, there's definitely a market for it. And, you know, a lot of people are buying vinyl these days, you know, thinking that is the best that's available. So
how is Pono, the team back in Northern California, promoting higher res audio? Do we just go to the site and there's some information about that, or when you do, like where I met you guys at Lavish, demonstrations and such, you know, around the communities and such to promote. So, you know, here's an MP3, here's a FLAC file, here's vinyl, here's, you're doing like comparisons or any of media to, with like case study files?
Yeah. So education is obviously a huge part of everything we do. Because a lot of the common listener doesn't really understand what they might be missing out on. Luckily, with services like Tidal and other high-res kind of people, people have kind of at least become aware that higher resolution music exists in the digital format, which wasn't the case, you know, even 3 years ago, I think. And we've got some certain initiatives that we're working on at Pono where you can kind of explore different kind of resolutions. We have the ability to browse our site and only look for above CD quality or look for CD quality and higher. And
you should probably mention the revealer.
Yeah. And we've got a mode on the Pono Player that you can turn on through the settings. It's called the Pono Revealer, where you can actually, through our desktop client, it has to be a 192.24 FLAC file, whether you probably bought from our store. And what you need to do is you can actually convert that to a revealer file, and what it will do is it'll take 192.24 FLAC file and it will downsample it using the same algorithms that oftentimes labels use when they need to downsample files for different formats.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll downsample it to 96 kilohertz sample rate, 24 bit, and it'll downsample it again to CD quality, 44.1 kilohertz, 16 bit. And then it will compress to M4A, which is what iTunes sells, the exact, and we do the exact iTunes variable bit rate M4A encoding, which is good for, I mean, what you're getting for the file sizes. It's a good encoding. It's just it doesn't really compromise. It doesn't really hold a candle to the original. And then we also do an MP3 compression that is modeled after the exact way the MP3 is compressed with constant and variable bit rates, the way that Amazon Music does it. So you can kind of see the entire landscape of resolutions. And then when you play that back in revealer mode on your Pono player, you can flip through while the song is playing, you can live flip between the resolutions and kind of notice things in the mix, notice how the decay is on a certain cymbal or snare, notice how the room sounds, and kind of compare them for yourself.
Yeah, it's a cool feature that we use when we, you know, do demos and stuff. You know, we've done a lot of demo booths at festivals, and you know, that's where you really get people to understand when they hear the difference. You know, especially something they've heard a million times. You know, you put on that Led Zeppelin track or Miles Davis or something, and then you hear it in high resolution, and it's, you're like, wow, is this a different mix or something? What's going on? Because you're hearing all these nuances that are essentially lost when it's so highly compressed.
Now, going back a step to what I was saying earlier about listening to Pono music or music in general on the Pono player that's stored there and or using that as a source into a system, is there a DAC built in internally that I can use when listening from the player, or when it outputs, do I have to use it as secondary DAC?
Are you talking about from your desktop computer?
No. Like, let's say I put music on the Pono player. Is there a DAC internal?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so if I'm playing music out of Pono, there I wouldn't need someone else's.
Yeah. In fact, we only have analog out. So a lot of different players, including like Apple products, allow you to do digital out,
mm-hmm.
where you can kind of, you have a car stereo, you can have it go through USB or some other protocol to your car deck, and then the deck has a built-in DAC that can do the conversion. That kind of takes away from what we're trying to do. The DAC in our player, as I mentioned, Air Acoustics, was specifically designed to work well with, it's the first portable player designed to play back above CD quality sample rates and files, and every other portable DAC to date is really designed for either CD quality, and that's where you're going to get your like car decks, you know, they're going to be in that range usually, or MP3s, which is going to be every single phone on the market. I mean, Charlie did an amazing job. He built very high-end luxury home listening components, and this was kind of a project that he wanted to take on with Neil so that he could get his discrete analog circuitry into the ears of kind of the mass public, because he knows not everyone can afford his run-of-the-mill usually sold components, because they range from $10,000 to $100,000. Like, they're quite expensive. So
tell me, kind of unrelated to the, well, actually, yeah. What was, for each one of you, we can start with Randy and then go on to Kevin. Both of you, what was the last song you played on your Pono player? Whenever that happened to be. Whether that was 5 minutes ago, yesterday, a week ago, whenever.
Yeah, sure. I'll take that. Actually, I was just testing something out today, so I was listening to a David Gray album. It happened to be 16 bit. That's the highest that's available right now. But I hadn't heard that album in a long time, and it sounds amazing on the Pono player.
And mine was the album Marquee Moon by Television,
That sounds phenomenal in high res.
which just got upgraded. We only had it in CD quality for I think like a year and a
Yeah,
half, and then
just this year it got
yeah,
upgraded.
they remastered it recently, and I got an email notification because we have something on our storefront called the Pono Promise, where if you buy something in a resolution that's currently available on our store, if the artist or the artist management or the label finds a higher version of that, or if the artist has it remastered or remixed, like a deluxe edition comes out or something of that nature, we actually issue the free an upgrade to that higher resolution of that album for free to our users and notify them via email. And then you can, as a user, you can just go back, log on to our store and download it for free.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
so it's kind of that guarantee that, hey, you're going to buy something from Pono, you know you're always going to have the highest resolution available, and at some point, if it's able to be released in a higher res, you know, you're going to get that upgrade for free. I know that being the Pono Promise.
that was actually the first time as a user of
Oh, that you got an
of
upgrade?
Pono Music.
It's a cool feeling, right? You're like,
Yeah.
oh yeah, we do that. That's cool.
Yeah, that I was like, oh damn, they upgraded this.
That's cool. Now, I can only assume that all your friends know, you know, like when you guys are like, I work for Pono, you know, Neil Young's company promoting high res audio and higher quality music. But if they don't, and like, let's say like the first time you told a friend about, you know, what Pono was, what's going on, the movement, music, higher quality, what do kind of like, and we can go back to Randy, then to Kevin. Describe like their reaction to hearing something better than like an MP3 or something they bought at iTunes or wherever.
Well, I usually, it's a friend of mine, I kind of know what they like musically, so I'll always try to start out with something that they're probably super familiar with, but probably have never heard in high res. And I kind of call it the Pono smile, because, you know, somebody puts on headphones and they, you know, they hear it, and you can just see the kind of the music overtake them and a big smile on their face, you know, and it's usually a pretty good wow factor. Of what they're hearing for the first time.
And you, Kevin?
If a friend describes it or asks me to describe it for them, I basically just try to be brief, and I say we sell studio master files, and that's kind of our business. And then we, out of necessity, have a player that can play them back. That's pretty much it. We just are trying to get the experience and the feeling that the artist has in the studio, which is always like this incredible, kind of like flurry of stuff going on, and trying to capture that moment and then recreate it properly for a listener.
Yeah, Neil's said a few times in, you know, some different interviews of to try to describe it, of, you know, you wouldn't want to go to you know, a gallery and look at a bunch of Xeroxes or, you know, highly compromised versions of somebody's artwork. You'd want to go and you'd want to see the real thing. So why wouldn't you want to listen to music that way?
Right. I always talk to friends like in terms of language, I feel like music is a universal language and everyone can experience it. Even if you don't, like, let's say, hear the words in your native language, you can still hear the music and it's still of movement and a very emotional feeling, and everyone can feel that feeling that music gives you. Like you're saying, you know, the Pono aha moment, right? When they
Yep.
hear from whatever their previous version of high quality audio to them or audio in general was, and then they hear something, and I'm something from the studio direct, the way it should be, the way that the artist recorded it, intended it to be played back, and they spent all this hour and time and money in the studio, and it's played back in the proper manner, that emotion is like being with the artist, trying to make it sound real, because I'm playing it right here as if I was in the studio or at a concert with this band, this artist, this group of musically talented people. So there's like this strong emotional effect. At least that's the way I experience music, and I feel that, like, it reminds me of, like, the first time I saw a band, or when I was a kid, my parents listened to this music, and it brings me back to another time. There's, like, an emotional connect that I get with music, regardless of what it is, but when it's back in, like, its truest form, it's like a whole nother world. It's like I'm transported to that event when it's happening. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, especially when it's, an intimate recording album, you listen to something like Joni Mitchell's Blue, and you close your eyes and you'd swear you're sitting in, the room with her, she's playing and singing. It's pretty cool.
I think across all genres, even Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly, that album that came out, I guess, almost a year ago now, on like some of the singles like King Kunta and stuff, there's intricate secondary bass lines and stuff going on you can't even hear when you listen on Spotify and stuff. And I play that album a lot in my car, and friends will be like, what is that? And I'll be like, dude, that's the other bass line going on.
But you missed that
man. So okay, is there anything else that we should mention that we haven't mentioned about Pono, the company, the player, the music store, and where it's headed to? I mean, it's already bringing awareness. It's through education. It's through sharing music with friends and producing the highest quality format in the Pono Promise. When that music isn't in the highest quality and then there is a remastered version or better quality, your continued promise from Pono to the client or the person or a person purchasing from Pono music is now getting upgraded, which is pretty cool. Is there anything we've kind of left out about the company in general?
Yeah, I would say I just touch on the community again, because that is such a cool piece about what we do and a way for people to connect. And there's this whole group of people now that are friends, and the only way they know each other, they could be the other sides of the world or the country, is via Pono and their excitement about whether they were early Kickstarter backers or just recently got a player or somebody that, maybe they have a different high-res player, but they've come to Pono to talk to other people about, hey, what are the best headphones to use, or what's the latest high-res recording that everybody's into? And there's that connection to it, and that, that was really important for Neil, to have people have that connection with the artist and then with each other. Because music is such a vehicle to bring people together.
And now the community you speak of, aside like just hanging out with Team Pono, would be actually, if I went over to PonoMusic.com, under the tab community, there's like a whole online forum, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, and you'll see all of us on there too. People ask us questions directly, and we try to get back to people as quickly as possible. And the community members always help people out. If somebody posts, oh, I'm having XYZ hiccup trying to, organize music, or, this is happening with my player, there's usually a resolve and people are quick to help each other out. So it's a great, resource for us, and, a great place to go, to kind of just hang out. And, there's a sort of a discovery experience that's, been lost as well. Back in the day, not to get too much in the rocking chair, but you'd go into, a record store, and there's usually, a clerk that they knew what you liked, and, they'd be like, oh yeah, this new album comes out today, be sure to check it out, and have that sort of recommendation, connection. And, that happens within the community and members. There's some members that are, really into jazz, and, they know a lot about it, and recently we had a sale on jazz albums, and there was one guy, who's kind of a more just a rock guy, and he's posted that, hey, I think I like jazz, I what I've heard, but I just don't know like where to go. And you know, other people chimed in and recommended, you know, hey, this is your entry, level for Coltrane. Check out this album first, and then you can go, you know, down this path. So it's just a really cool aspect of what Pono's about.
Cool. If anyone out there listening right now, if you aren't signed up for the community to learn more about audio quality, what to find, how to use it, or maybe you don't have a Pono player yet, it should just say head over to PonoMusic.com. Become a user, meet some friends, talk to the employees there directly. However, if anyone maybe has any, maybe they're unsure, like, hey, what are your just general questions about Pono in general? Is there perhaps an email or a phone number that people can reach out to the company direct and ask offline?
I mean, there's an info@ponomusic.com, but really the best place is the community,
Okay.
because then
From actual users.
you're pinning it up there, and more often than not, a community member will get back to you right away, because we're worldwide. There's people on the community 24/7.
Okay. That's good. I think that is going to be all my questions for now. So later on this year, if you guys have time or are willing to listen to me ramble about music and technology again, I'd love to have you both back. And if you want to bring Neil on the show, that's cool too. But in the future, I'd love to have you guys back, and maybe there's new Pono headphones, maybe there's a Pono 2.0, I don't know. But in the future, I would love to have you guys both back, and I am grateful for your time and knowledge on the show today.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you having us, and hopefully everybody will join the high-resolution revolution.
I should mention, if you guys are social people and you want to follow them in the social format on IG, they're going to be at Pono_music. On Twitter, just simply at Pono. If you like Facebook, that's your brand, head over to facebook.com/Pono by Neil Young and give them a like, check them out. Again, the website, PonoMusic.com. If anyone has any questions for me, you can email me direct. Just don't send me any spam because I don't like it. It's Johnny, JohnnyMota, the number 3. That's JohnnyMota3@gmail.com. If you want to scream at me on Twitter, I would say don't follow me because I'm lost. It's at JMOTA3. Same with IG and Google Play, Friendster, MySpace, whatever. I don't know. So all those things. It doesn't really make any sense. But if you want to reach out, do so. Everyone, this has been AV Insider, and we will catch you on the next show.